Have you ever looked at a piece of art and thought, wow, this is really interesting? Or thought, oh no, I hate this. Both are normal reactions, but Jessica Koyman Parker says we should think a little more deeply than that.
You know, we're really lucky to be able to just look at art and judge it for a few seconds, but there's a person behind it.
In other words?
Artists are people too.
Artists are people too. Indeed, they are. And we'll meet two of them in this episode of the Up North Lowdown from Interlaken Public Radio. I'm Ed Ronco. Elsa Carter won a national competition for high school-aged artists all around the country, and this past summer it allowed her to go to Isle Royal, this remote national park on a huge island in Lake Superior. Elsa's task? To make paintings of the island's rugged landscape for a week. IPR's Claire Keenan-Kurgan went out painting with Elsa here on the mainland just before she set off on her grand adventure.
Elsa Carter is 17 years old, and she's been painting for a long time.
I have been drawn to painting my entire life. It sounds a little cliche, but it was literally the walls were going to get it or my parents were going to give me paper and pen.
Her specialty these days is plein air painting, which means painting outside, usually in nature, capturing the scene around you. Today, she set up her easel in a field facing the Dichow Farm in Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore. It's a quiet, cloudy morning on the side of M22, with an occasional car passing by. As we talk, she starts shading in a pink background onto the canvas, where she'll paint the barn and the field it's in.
Most of the shadows are pretty dark since it's still early with the fog covering some stuff.
She's using a special easel for plein air painting this morning, and it looks pretty ancient. It's wooden with a little drawer for all of Elsa's tools, and it's covered with many years' worth of paint splatters.
It was a gift to me from a family friend who had to go to a nursing home, and this was her favorite plein air easel.
Elsa's color palette is part of the set, too, also given to her by the same family friend. A straw sun hat is hanging from the back of the easel.
I got a really bad sunburn, I remember, but it was so worth it.
Elsa has taken lots of art classes at school, but she says for plein air painting techniques, she is mostly self-taught. Her textbook?
I have learned basically everything from Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube.
This summer, she gets to paint a brand new place she's never been to before, Isle Royal. She won a competition for teen artists from all across the country for a residency at the national park.
It is a 6-hour boat ride that only stops with 8-foot waves, so I'm really hoping for good weather.
To apply for the fellowship to Isle Royal, she had to submit 3 to 6 pieces of artwork, an essay about her mediums and techniques, and a letter of recommendation.
My art teacher, Mr. Beckler, who is a working artist as well, he recommended it to me, said he saw something about it online, or no, he might have heard about it from one of his art friends. He's always chatting.
She applied last year and won 5th place, which wasn't high enough to go to the island. But on her second try this year, she won. She said she wrote about growing up in northern Michigan, especially going out into nature with her mom, who was an arborist at Sleeping Bear Dunes.
She worked on trails and cut down trees, so I was out here a lot when I was a kid. I still love coming out here.
Her mom is coming with her on this adventure, and her dad, too.
Isle Royal has been on their hiking and camping bucket list their entire lives, and they haven't gotten a chance to go, and I'm really excited that I was able to be the one to get them there.
But it's not just a vacation for them. Technically, she'll be putting them to work.
They love this because they're written in as artist assistants to be able to go, which is kind of hilarious.
She'll be there for a week until the end of July, with one other high school artist from Texas and the winner of the competition for adults, too. When she graduates high school next spring, she wants to go to Northern Michigan University in Marquette to study to be an art teacher.
Yeah, my art teacher likes to joke that I'm planning to steal his job.
That story came from IPR's Claire Keenan-Kurgan. Now, that was July, so we wondered, how'd it go?
Hi, Claire.
Hey, Elsa.
Claire called Elsa back this week and asked exactly that. How did it go? What was it like?
Oh my gosh, it was a lot different than I expected, if I'm being honest. It's much more rugged than I realized. The weather was insane. We had like so many storms while I was there. I think they kind of added to it. We had this guy out there on the island who was kind of like helping us ferry us around. He had a speedboat. He's a resident on the island. He owns some of the cabins. And he had taken us out to Raspberry Island, which is a island a like little ways off the coast of the main island. He dropped us off around like 11:30, and he wasn't supposed to be back till like 12:30. And we started hearing thunder while we were hiking out there, and kind of we're like, oh boy, we're either going to have to weather the storm here or go come back. So we ended up all meeting back at the docks with no communication because, you know, there's no service out there. The boat was already there, and he was like, get on, like, we got to head back to harbor. And that was at about 11:50, so we'd only been there for maybe 20 minutes. It was really insane watching this, like, storm come in from behind us. It was like a wall of darkness. The waves started to get choppy, and then lightning was striking. Thunder, it was the whole bit. Honestly, it was really exhilarating and fun, and I took so many videos and photos of that storm. Oddly enough, I'm dying to go back.
Even with all of that?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Elsa Carter, plein air painter, talking with IPR's Claire Keenan Kurgan. Now, Elsa says she didn't do much actual painting out there, but spent her time making a lot of studies of the landscape, sketches, ideas, brought them back, and is about to get to work on a whole bunch of new art. After a quick break, the work of indigenous artists from around the world comes to Traverse City.
The combination of color, black and white with color, is beautiful in this piece.
Stay with us.
These days, there's so much news, it can be hard to keep up with what it all means for you, your family, and your community. The Consider This podcast from NPR features our award-winning journalism. 6 days a week, we bring you a deep dive on a news story and provide the context and analysis that helps you make sense of the news. We get behind the headlines. We get to the truth. Listen to the Consider This podcast from NPR.
There's an island in the middle of a river in Illinois. For years, it had been the only native habitat of what some call the rarest plant in North America, a flower called the Kankakee mallow. About 10 years ago, some botanists went looking for it.
And what I remember is that we sort of pulled around the corner to park at the island, and it was just, I remember feeling really, like my heart kind of sank.
The island was covered in a thick wall of invasive plants. The rare flower they went looking for was nowhere to be found. But was it gone for good? That story next time on Points North. That episode of Points North is available now. You can listen to it wherever you're hearing this podcast.
Welcome back to the Up North Lowdown. I'm Ed Ronco. There's still time to catch an art exhibition showcasing indigenous artists from around the world. The exhibition focuses especially on work from South and North America, including some artists right here in northern Michigan. To see it for myself, I went to the Alluvion on 8th Street in Traverse City.
Jorge.
Nice to meet you, Mr. Ed.
Nice to meet you, Jorge.
I meet Jorge Ivan Ceballos out in the exhibition space, which is the whole building, really. He's from Quito, Ecuador, and is the producer and general director of this art exhibition. He's wearing a purple shirt, a beaded necklace, rectangular wire-rimmed glasses, and a handkerchief tied as a headband around his forehead.
Yes, 100 pieces here.
100 pieces here.
100 pieces here, yes.
Wow. And he's leading me on a tour. We stop in front of the bathrooms.
There is one of my favorite piece maybe in this exhibition.
Ceballos points into the alcove, just outside the two bathroom doors.
Is that one of Chip Geronimo?
It is by the Ecuadorian artist Anderson Jair Cochavignan, half in color, half in black and white.
So Chip Geronimo is a Chiricahua leader of the Southwest, and he creates a piece which combines the feathers of the traditions of the Native American plus the calmness of this big, big chief of the North American. Also the combination of color, black and white with color, is beautiful in this piece.
It's really fun to be able to hang art here.
That is Jessica Koyman Parker, the visual arts curator at the Alluvian.
Jorge's been always coming to me with, can we hang more? Can we put more up? And I'm saying, yes, let's do it. Let's do more. And we had the first and second floors hung mostly, and then he came with more. He said, I've got more.
The art is everywhere in the building, down hallways, over a table in the coffee shop, all the way up the stairs, hanging from the ceiling. In the outer lobby of the Alluvian Performance Space, you'll find a wall full of portraits, and up on the third floor, still more work.
I may have decided that these are my favorite, but it's very difficult for me to choose.
At the foot of an enormous staircase, two enormous paintings titled Amazonia 1 and Amazonia 2. Oil on Canvas by artist Ana Piaguaje of Ecuador. Both of these are massive rainforest scenes. Deep greens, blue sky barely peeking through, butterflies and birds if you stop and look closely.
So you're looking at hundreds of thousands of leaves in the painting.
It's almost like it makes you want to peer through the leaves and see if you can see deeper into the plants and what might be back there, even though it's still canvas. I mean, it's paint on canvas, but I feel like I'm looking deep into something.
Right, yeah, and the nature of having two next to each other, is sort of like, harkens to a window where you can look out and this is what you're surrounded. I can almost hear the sounds and feel a little bit warmer by looking at it.
These two paintings, like the other works in the exhibition, are available for purchase, $3,000 a piece for these enormous works. In this traveling gallery, most of the artists come from South America and North America, and some from right here in northern Michigan. Traverse City artists Paul Sinclair and Janelle Dahlberg are represented, as well as St. Ignace artist Daryl Brown. Koyman Parker, the curator here in Traverse City, says she first saw this show in St. Ignace.
My immediate thought was like, we don't get to see this kind of thing in Traverse City. I need to provide a larger venue. I need to provide a space in which people can see this and we can hang as much art as we can. And, because it is such a powerful work connected to the culture, connected to identity, indigenous identity, it felt really important to bring it here.
Important, yeah. But also fun. Koyman Parker designed the layout of the portrait wall. More than a dozen faces, some smiling, some appearing in serious thought. All of them images of people looking directly out at the viewer.
Part of my curatorial practice is, having people recognize that artists are people too, kind of. We're really lucky to be able to just look at art and judge it for a few seconds. But there's a person behind it. And with this exhibition, there's cultures behind it. There's countries behind it. There's so much behind this work.
And their advice, if you're coming to see it, bring friends if you want. Wander through alone if you want. But give yourself plenty of time to take it all in. You have until August 31st to see it in person, though some of the works will remain on the third floor through the end of the year. You can also see just a few of the works on our website, iprnews.org. And that is The Lowdown. I'm Ed Ronco. This is a production of Interlaken Public Radio. Thanks for listening. More stories from Northern Michigan real soon.
Never really been a radio listener. We get it. But we think you'll like what you hear on Interlaken Public Radio. In the mornings, we bring you up to speed on life in Northern Michigan. In the evenings, you can hear essential and emerging artists on World Cafe and other music shows. So try us on for a minute. See if we fit. Stream IPR News at iprnews.org.